The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Suns tonight, game number 5 against the Pelicans. We will get into that during our opening segment. We're presented by, brought to you by our good friends over at Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. We were at Larry Fitzgerald's golf tournament yesterday. That was really interesting. You know, I'm trying to drop a few pounds. I've been trying to stay consistent, stay on track. And yesterday, I failed miserably, even though the scale didn't say so today. So when you're at Fitz's tournament and everything at the, it's at Phoenix Country Club, everything was taken care of. They had this hot dog stand, this Chicago hot dog stand that I had to, and I've been good for like 3 weeks, and I just couldn't say no. And two of those bad boys later. And then on the final hole, Gadzooks was set up. Now, those of you that know Gadzooks, I'm a Gadzooks fanatic. Couldn't say no to that. So that was about my only failings yesterday in terms of the golf. It was a lot of fun. And I didn't talk to Fitz about sports or any of that stuff. It was his event. Bell Bank is partnering with Larry, and it was just a nice, nice day out at Phoenix Country Club. I want to get into tonight because I'm getting some signals from people that that have been longtime Suns fans that are just, they're wound up that they're in a series and they're in a battle. And it wasn't even Devin Booker's injury. Everybody's going right down to, well, if Devin Booker were healthy, they'd be fine. And in game one, there were moments where you just looked at the Pelicans and said, you know, they're getting open looks. They're getting open shots. Their transition defense play that Devin got hurt on was bad transition defense. So, yeah, maybe it looks different. They've been in every one of these games, but it's more than just Devin Booker. It is. And the easy narrative is, well, if he were playing, they'd be up and this series would be over with. Well, they're not, and he's not. And Chris Paul is not at 100%, in my opinion. Monty Williams, I sat in on the Zoom yesterday. He actually sent over the link from the Zoom of Monty yesterday. And I was going through it last night, and he was talking about his team not responding to him and playing free and easy, and brought up things like just veiled, you know, the amount of free throw disparity and some of the stuff that goes on the court. Well, it's postseason basketball. Look what happened last night, you know, the Utah-Dallas game when Luka gets into it. And that's playoff ball. I'm watching Brooklyn last night completely crap the bed. And before the season started, who were the two teams who were picked? It's going to be Brooklyn and the Lakers. The Lakers didn't even make the playoffs, and Brooklyn's gone in year one. So the experts. So I'm not surprised that the Suns are in a battle. I'm not. And anybody who's like, oh, well, it's the referee's fault. Wrong show, because I'm not going to sit there and agree with you on that stuff. And it is Monty having to make some adjustments. So does Cameron Payne not get out on the floor tonight as much because he's not been able to give them offense? Where is the offense going to come from with Devin Booker not on the floor? Can you answer that question? And if the Suns lose home court advantage tonight, I don't think they come back from New Orleans. I don't. So the pressure, I mean, clearly all the pressure is on the Suns. There's no pressure on New Orleans tonight. There's no pressure on New Orleans on Thursday night. This series going 6. Nobody expected New Orleans to be here, and nobody expected the team with the best record during the regular season to be scrambling. And that's what the Suns are doing. They are scrambling. They are in trouble. And if they win the series, great, but they've had to exert a lot more energy than they needed to, why Golden State is not really being pushed. Because I don't see where Dallas, I don't see where Memphis or Minnesota are ready. They're still about a year away, in my opinion. So the hungrier team tonight, is there going to be a change in rotation? If you're changing all things upside down, then it is, well, if Devin were here and next man up doesn't work. just not that simple. You have to find the right chemistry and the right group together, and they've not been able to do that. Don't tell me about what happened in a game in February or in March that this is what they should do. It's a completely different world we're living in when it comes to postseason basketball. I think Steve Nash is going to get fired at Brooklyn. It's hard to say he should get fired, but they don't fire players last time I checked. And Kyrie is going to say things like, well, I'm not going to be the general manager. Kevin Durant, yeah, LeBron doesn't really have any say. That's a media narrative. To think that superstar players don't have say on who comes on board their roster is foolish. And so Kevin Durant, out of the playoffs, didn't make it through the first round. Kyrie Irving, out of the playoffs, didn't make it through the first round. So this whole thing about, well, Kyrie's going to play in certain games because of COVID restrictions, that doesn't work. The chemistry just doesn't work. And Boston's like, these are our dudes, and we're going to go out and take care of business. And that's what they did. That was an old-fashioned ass-kicking. That's all that was. And Steve's going to end up being the fall guy probably for it. Nothing against Steve, it's the way it goes. Watched the Diamondbacks last night, and that's this one of those games where you can say they're awful and all that stuff. Walker Buehler was just that good. In the game of baseball, the starting pitcher, you've got to just, I hate the term, tip your cap. No, you just have to take your medicine. Because last night, Walker Buehler just blew right through the Diamondbacks. Like, there was nobody there. And I love the fact he went to his manager and said, I'm not coming out of the game. You know, we saw Walker Buehler at the Waste Management Open on, what was it, the Tuesday and Wednesday. Played the Pro-Am, played in the Dream Day stuff. So, and really enjoyed visiting with him. Zach Davies on the mound tonight. That game is going to be going on in downtown Phoenix, opposite of the Suns. So if you're heading down to the Diamond, well, it's actually a Dodger home game. Did you see last night? Did you see the Diamondback game? Like, they announced 17,000. The shot from behind the pitcher was nothing but Dodger fans in the lower level and off to either side. It was a Dodger home game. It was a Dodger convention. Over at Arizona State, they bring in a transfer portal offensive lineman, Joey Ramos, local kid who comes back. I was reading this morning where the transfer portal, which closes on May 1st, has 900 players, Division I players, that have not found a landing spot in Division I. 900. What does that tell you? Colleges miss so often. These guys that sit there and they're paid to analyze talent, they're supposedly gurus. 900 kids. Yeah, you can't go from Division I to a Division I school. And you know, how much of that is the kid being unrealistic and saying, I only want to go to Alabama. I'm not going to go to, because I'll get that. I'll get the, we're looking for Power 5. How about you just look for a place where your son can get on the field and play? I don't know. Second quarterback in this year's draft is coming from Liberty. So, Daddy Baller, wake up. See what's going on out there. All right. Peter King on the NFL draft. If you missed it, we will have that next on a Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, Peter King joins us for a few minutes. It is NFL draft week. We're at Larry Fitzgerald's golf tournament here at the Phoenix Country Club. Peter years ago did a piece on Fitz golfing overseas. You know his penchant for that. He said to say hello. I'll get right into it with you, time being short as it is. The draft and your mock draft is out. And this draft coming up this week, Peter, in a nutshell, how would you describe the lead up to this one?
Brad, I think it's pretty mysterious. If you look at the top of this draft, you look and see there are three general managers who hold the draft in their hands, all of whom have been on the job for a very short period of time. Joe Douglas with the Jets, he's got the 4th and 10th picks overall. Joe Shane with the Giants, who just got the job in January, they've got the 5th and 7th picks overall. And Nick Caserio in Houston, who's been on the job for 15 months and who's got the 3rd and 13th picks overall. And not that you can necessarily read a draft through the general managers, but you add the fact that there are very few quarterbacks who anybody are there are no quarterbacks that anybody is sure of. And quarterbacks are always the linchpin of any draft, along with the inexperience of these general managers in basically making a book that you can read on them. And so that's why I think this one is so hard to predict.
The quarterbacks, the earliest, and I want to give away your whole mock draft, but the earliest that you have is Kenny Pickett at 20 to the Steelers. Is there going to be a team that jumps up? Is it a surprise this year where, or is it just pretty defined? No, there's no surprises, Brad. This is it.
I think there definitely will be some surprises. I do, you know, as I was calling around the league, it was such a weird feeling. I would say, what do you hear about the quarterbacks? Well, not much. Don't hear anything. I almost gave a quarterback to Tennessee at 26. And I ended up not doing that, but I thought very long and hard about it because it reminds me a little bit of 2005 when the Green Bay Packers never in a million years thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to fall to whatever it was, 25. And there he is just sitting there. And sometimes, like this year, if you're these teams in the 20s and you need to ask yourself this week, what do we do if Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder, and maybe Kenny Pickett are there when we pick at what would the Tennessee Titans say if they could get any quarterback they wanted sitting there at 26? I mean, it's easy to say, well, they've got so much money invested in their current quarterback that, you can't cut Ryan Tannehill because of the cap charges. So why would you even be thinking about this? I think that they have thought about it, quite honestly. But I just think there is no clarity at the quarterback position, and that just really hurts trying to forecast a draft.
Yeah, and if I'm Steve Keim and I'm sitting there in the mid-20s, I have a quarterback. Yeah, we have an issue going on right now, but there's a lot of offseason to go. I'm trading down if I'm in that spot. I'm going to say, bring it on, guys, because can you find another defensive player? Last 2 years, Peter, they've gone defense with Simmons and Zaven Collins. Kyler needs help at wide receiver. I'd love to see one of these wide receivers fall, but I don't think Olave's going to be there unless he's able to trade up. So, you know, if you're Steve Keim just getting direct on the Cardinals, I think you're open for business.
If you're Steve Keim and you really want one of those receivers, I think even Jahan Dotson, the Penn State kid, who's probably the number six guy, I think even with him, you'd have to trade up. Look, I feel strongly about this, and I understand that you want weapons for Kyler Murray, but I think sometimes, Brad, you have to look at the word weapon in a different way, and that is, I would feel better about this draft if I were the Arizona Cardinals and if I were Kyler Murray. I'd feel better about getting Zion Johnson, probably the best and most versatile, most versatile interior lineman in this class. I'd feel better about getting him than I would about getting the sixth or seventh receiver in this draft.
Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. We're at the Larry Fitzgerald Golf Tournament here at Phoenix Country Club. Before I get you out of here, Deebo Samuel, Baker Mayfield, are they still with their teams by the end of draft weekend?
I think so. I think it's much more possible, in my opinion, that Baker Mayfield goes. But the problem is the Browns are going to have to pick up, I think, most of his salary. I don't know what you're going to get for a guy who everybody knows is going to be out of there. And the other problem with him is, Brad, you know, unless you really believe in him long term, what do you accomplish by bringing him in for 1 year? Right. I mean, maybe Seattle would do that. Maybe after the draft, if they don't take a quarterback, Carolina would do it. But it's just it just kind of muddies the waters in your building at quarterback.
I appreciate your time and your insight on draft week. As always, Peter, stay safe. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brad.
There's Peter King, and we're back with more after this timeout.